thanks for the invitation. It's always a great pleasure to be back at PI and give a talk. So I'm going to talk about some of the work on boundary vertex operator algebras of 3D n equals 4 SEFTs. This is based on a work with my collaborators Dongmin Kang and Spencer Stubb, and also another work with Andrea Ferrari and Nick Garner, and also based on some discussion with Thomas Kurzig. Start the talk, there has been many interesting progress in recent years in understanding some structure of vertex operator algebras from supersymmetric quantum field theories. And in the case of 3D supersymmetric quantum field theories, a lot of interesting progress has been made by people here in PI, including Davide and Kevin and collaborators. Usually, the setup is that you have 3D n equals to 2 or n equals to 4 supersymmetric field theory on a 3D Burke with some 2D boundary with some boundary condition that preserves certain amount of supersymmetry. Interesting structure arises when you perform certain twists of the theory on a Burke. So in the case of 3D n equals to 2 theory, there is the holomorphic topological twist. And in n equals to 4 theory, in addition to the holomorphic topological twist, you can also perform the full topological twist. There are two different choices, which is the topological A twist and topological B twist. And after passing to the cohomology, you obtain the topological field theory, say topological field theory A and topological field theory B. And depending on the structure of the twisted theory on a Burke, some interesting algebraic structure appears in the 2D boundary. Okay. So most of the progress in understanding the relation between those 3D theory and algebra induced in a 2D boundary are based on some study that regards the geometric structure of the moduli space of vacua, namely the Coulomb branch or the Higgs branch of those theories. So for example, if you take the 3D n equals to 4 theory, and if you perform the topological A twist to get the TFT A, then the local operator of the theory after the topological twist are the Coulomb branch operators. And if you perform the topological B twist, the local operators after the topological twist becomes the Higgs branch operators of the original theories. Okay. The algebras that you obtain on the 2D boundaries are usually somewhat more exotic than the one that you usually encounter, for example, from the transformal theory. So for example, often you get something like an algebra whose category of modules are non-semi-simple. And you get, generically, you get something like a low logarithmic for your A's. What is responsible for the fact that you get something, some exotic structures on the 2D boundary is actually the existence of the non-trivial Coulomb branch or Higgs branch operator. So for example, if you take the topological A twist to get the TFTA, and you get the non-trivial set of the local operators from the Coulomb branch operator if the Coulomb branch is non-trivial. for example, the existence of the local operators, for example, implies that the Hilbert space on two spheres is non-trivial, that actually signals, for example, the partition function on S2 times S1 is not equal to 1. This is a signal of the non-semi-simplicity of the underlying topological field theories. So probably the natural question at this point is there any construction? Is there any, for example, is there any 3D n equals 4 supersymmetric field theory whose topological twist supports more conventional type of the algebra on the boundary? For example, is there any class of 3D n equals 4 theory whose topological twist supports, for example, the rational vertex operator algebra at the boundary that supports rational mu A's on the boundary? Okay, so this is the question that I would try to answer in this talk today. So before I answer those questions, there are two important necessary conditions for the algebra to be rational. So for example, given the discussion that I just gave, for example, let's take for concreteness, take the topological field theory A that comes from the topological twisting using the Higgs branch symmetry. In this case, the algebra of local operator is a common branch operators. So one of the necessary conditions for this algebra being rational is going to be the condition that Coulomb branch is a point. So this is one important, the necessary condition for the algebra, the boundary being rational. And the second important necessary condition comes from the consideration of the other branch. For example, in the topological A twist, you can consider the Higgs branch of those 3D n equals 4 theory. And by those Higgs branch conjecture of in 4D case, by those Higgs branch conjecture of Beam and Rastelli, this Higgs branch is what is expected to be correspond to the associated variety of the algebra. And in 3D n equals to 4 case, some similar construction has been studied, but we expect that some sort of similar statement holds there. And what's known there is that if the Higgs branch is a point, associated variety is a point, then the algebra is this, and this is actually something that is known to be something that is believed to be an important necessary condition for this algebra being rational. Okay, so we have two important necessary conditions for this algebra, the boundary being rational. The first condition is a Coulomb branch is a point, and the second condition, which is believed to be an important necessary condition, is also the case that the Higgs branch is also a point. Okay, so Higgs branch is a point. And based on examples that these two are, we expect that these two are actually a sufficient condition to have a rational vertex operator algebra at the boundary. So those theories are called rank zero theories. So rank in 3D n equals to 4 SEFT is the minimum of the dimension of the Kuhn branch. And the dimension of the Higgs branch. So this notion is slightly different from how it is defined in 4D n equals to 2 case. In n equals to 2 case, it's the dimension of the Coulomb branch. But in 3D n equals to 4, in the literature, it's just defined as the minimum of the dimension of the Coulomb branch or the dimension of the Higgs branch. Okay. So natural starting point to answer that question would be some 3D n equals to 4 theory, the rank 0 3D n equals to 4 theory that has a zero dimensional Higgs branch and Coulomb branch. Okay.
So, sorry, it's the minimum of those are 0. So, what could
be the
minimum?
Yeah, so it could be.
Maximum,
sorry. Yeah, maximum. So, both has to be a zero dimensional to have a rank, to be a rank 0 theory.
So, also, can Higgs branch be like a potent?
I think so, yeah. But I think, yeah, as a, yes, yes. Yeah, and the problem now is that it's difficult to construct a rank zero theories, 3D n equals to 4 rank zero theory. In 4D n equals 2 theories, we believe that there doesn't exist such theories, although we don't have a proof for that statement. And in 3D n equals to 4 theory, there are a few examples known, but it's very rare. Okay, so the important question here is there any systematic ways to construct the rank 0 theory? That's the first important question. So the examples of rank zero theories that are known in the literatures are the following. The important first example is what people call the minimal 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theories. You call the T mean. So this theory is known, is believed to be the simplest interacting 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theory. In a sense that, for example, the central charge of the 3D theory is the smallest among the non-interacting SEFTs. That's actually smaller, even smaller than the free Cayley theory in 3D n equals to 2.
You mean the F value, or what do you mean by central charge?
This particular coefficient in the correlation function of the central charges in 3D n equals to 2.
What the F?
Probably F is also, there is also a statement about F2, but at this point what I meant was certain coefficients in a two-point correlation function of the energy momentum tensor. Yeah. So, and this can be also thought of as an analog of Azrath-Douglas series in 4D n equals to 2 series in that sense. And there are some belief that the T minimum theory is actually a dimensional reduction, certain dimensional reduction of the Azrath-Douglas, some simplest Azrath-Douglas theory, known as the A1, A2 theory in 4D n equals to 2.
But doesn't that
have a Coulomb branch? It has a Coulomb, so you have to just compactify in a very specific way, yeah, so that it lifts up the Coulomb branch.
Do you know if anybody has tried to bootstrap it?
I think probably in the very, very first example, the very first bootstrap in which sense?
Conform bootstrap.
I'm not sure if that has been done in the literature. Probably not, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I will talk about this theory in more detail in this talk. The main purpose of this talk is to understand the vertex operator algebra structure of this T-minimal theory and its some generalizations. And this was actually first discussed in the paper by Kang and Yang Zhaoqi. In 1880. And also all the known examples of the 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theories are non-Lagrangian, in a sense that there doesn't exist any Lagrangian description that preserves the manifest n equals to 4 symmetry. For example, that theory, the T minimum theory, only has a Lagrangian description that preserves the n equals to 2 supersymmetry. And it has been argued that in the IR fixed point, the supersymmetry enhances to n equals to 4. And the other known class of examples are some scattered example that comes from the gauging of T of SU2 theory. So if you gauge the two flavor symmetries of the T SU2 theory in a specific way, for certain cases, it's known to flow to a rank 0 3D n equals to 4 theory. So this theory is also one of the most important examples of the theory that doesn't have the manifest 3D n equals to 4 Lagrangian description. Probably there does not exist any Lagrangian 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theory. So that's the most important obstruction to construct a large class of the rank 0 theories. So the question that I will try to answer in the talk is, first of all, is there any systematic way to construct a large cross-lob rank zero theory? And the second question is, what are the boundary algebras of them? So probably I think it's better to just start from stating the result. So I will try to construct a class of the 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theory, which is called the TR theory, where R is a negative integer. This is a family of rank 0 theory, and whose simplest member is this T minimum theory. And in explaining the construction of TR theory, I will try to illustrate our strategy for constructing those rank zero theories. And second, we will try to focus on the vertex operator algebras of T minimum theory. We will show that this T minimum theory for the topological B twist T of T B of this minimum theory supports the affine vertex operator algebra of OSP 1 slash 2 level k equals to 1. And we can also choose another boundary condition. It also supports the minimal model M 2,5, which are the famous examples of the rational vertex operator algebra. Yes.
So by VOA here, you mean some Virasoro structure on the boundary two dimensional boundary?
Yeah, it contains a Virasoro structure, yes.
Yes, but is it even guaranteed that it has a stress tensor on the boundary?
Yeah, I don't think it's guaranteed, but yeah, for this class of examples, we will see that the old examples actually has a stress tensor.
I think if the bulk is topological, it's guaranteed.
If the bulk is topological. Okay. And the important aspects, the relation between the OSP 1 slash 2 and M 2,5, the minimum model 2,5, which is also known as Liang model, this relation is something that we learned from a discussion with Thomas Krutzig, and these two theories are actually related by some interesting Weber rank duality. And this construction, in some sense, provides a physical realization of the Weber rank duality between these two dimensions.
Yes, question. So, something that we have why is a theorem doesn't mean that the B twist is not does not have parity as a symmetry.
Wow. in what sense? Why is the parity important here?
Sure. Like another example of plurality, you know, like Shamsian's theory, left boundary conditions support one algebra and right boundary conditions support
right. Right, so M2,5 is something that comes from the left boundary condition, and the OSP1/2 is something that comes from the right boundary condition. So these are two literal, the boundary condition that exists for the left and the right.
And I assume I could put the one on the left, I couldn't put it on the right.
I think so. I think if we try to do that, at least I think the half index is not well defined or something like that, something like a negative level Chern-Simons theory. Gonna happen. Yeah, maybe in that sense. I see what you mean.
Now I cannot remember if for Lagrangian theories, they might always be like parity symmetric, but I might be wrong. I wonder if maybe the lack of parity symmetry might be another thing to see that.
Yeah, maybe.
It's very.
The existence of Chern-Simons level, this theory will have a 3D n equals to 2 description in terms of the abelian Chern-Simons matter theory. Probably that Chern-Simons term is responsible for that. Any other questions? If not, I will try to explain how these two comes about. So I will first try to describe the construction of TR theory. So as I mentioned, TR theory has a UV description in terms of the n equals to 2 Lagrangian abelian Chern-Simons matter theory. So it's actually n equals to 2 U1 to the R Chern-Simons theory with level K, level matrix K plus R Carter multiplet with charge 1. Charge 1 under, so A run from 1 to R, and each of phi is just charge 1 under each of the gauge. 1 under charge delta ABC under the gauge group U1 to the B. Okay, and this Chern-Simons level K is defined as a 2 times the Kartang matrix of what's called the Tadpole graph. You take an inverse. Okay? So this is nothing but you take a Kartang matrix of a R algebra and replace the very last entry by 1. The last entry is always 2, so you replace that 2 by 1. That's what's known as the Tadpole graph. So you can write it in a more explicit way. This is something like 2 times 1, 1, 1, and 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3, all the way up to 1, 2, 3, 4 to the R. I will try to tell you later how we came up with this particular theory. Okay. And in addition to those the field contents, we also consider the superpotential deformation by some monopole operator. You see that this theory has an untrivial Kuhn branch because it has R copies of U1. So in order to lift all those Coulomb branch symmetry, we want to add some deformation. And we actually find that there exists exactly R minus 1 gauge invariant monopole operators to this theory, so that if we add something like M1, M R minus 1, that half BPS gauge invariant monopole operator that exists in the theory, where this M1 is actually simply the first, those the flux vectors are nothing but the first R minus 1 rows of the AR Gardner matrix. So M2 is minus 1, 2 minus 1, and M3 is something like so 2. Okay, and you go to the R minus 1 first. Okay, and after this monopole deformation, the original theory before the monopole deformation has the U1 to dr topological symmetry. This breaks down to the U1 axial symmetry. This is going to be something that's identified with the U1 axial symmetries in the IR's with the n equals to 4 theory. And this is in terms of U1 top, it's actually U1 top 1 plus U1 top 2 to all the way to R, U1 R top, where these are the each U1 factors. There are many strong evidences that this theory flows to the fixed point with the enhanced supersymmetry. So you can check it from many supersymmetric calculations. For example, in the supersymmetric index, superconformal index calculation, you identify a particular term that that signals the existence of extra supercurrent multiplied in the 3D n equals to 4 theory. Okay, so this U1 axial times the U1 R in the original theory enhances to the U1 H times the SU2 H times SU2 C in the IR theory. And being 3D n equals to 4 theory, you can perform the two different topological twists that I mentioned earlier. So from TR, you obtain TFTA and TFTB from the topological A twist and topological B twist. And you can explicitly check that the partition function is 1 in both twists, which is actually something that agrees with what we expected. Okay, and the motivation for those theory actually comes from it'll become more clear if you consider the half indices of those theories. So half indices are the partition functions of the theory on a half space. The half index. To construct a half index, we can consider the Dirichlet boundary conditions to Dirichlet boundary conditions to or the multiplet Dirichlet to the vector and Dirichlet to or R Cartesian multiplets. Okay, then we don't have to worry about the cancellation of the anomaly. It gives you a well-defined the Q series expansion. So, for example, what it means is that you set the boundary value of the connection to zero, and also you take the bosonic field in the Cartesian multiplet, the or bosonic field in the Cartesian multiplet to zero at the boundary, and this U1 to the R gauge symmetry becomes the U1 to the R the global symmetry on the boundary. An important non-perturbative defect is an existence of the boundary monopoles, which is defined as a half space integration of the curvature is some integers to the R. Okay. So for R equals to 0, R equals to 1, the simplest case, you can explicitly write down the characters, simple expression like this. The sum is a sum over this boundary monopoles. You have a contribution from Chern-Simons level to M. This S is the fugacity for this global symmetry, you have q 1 minus m s inverse q to the infinity. And for the A twist, it's almost the same, but this q factor is replaced by q to the m square minus m. And probably s is also, I think this is it. This is the only difference between the A twist and B twist. And you can take the limit, the s goes to 1. You try to take the limit, see what happens. And you see that for the A twist, in the limit, you get this simple expression that might be familiar to some people. So this is nothing but the vacuum character of the Liang model. So this is the vacuum character of Liang model, the M2,5. And also you can show that in this theory there exists the one independent Wilson line. If you insert that Wilson line, you get the other character. The Liang model has a two characters, two modules, one a trivial module and non-trivial module. And you get insert certain loop operator, you get the character of the other module of the Liang model. So it's essentially you remove this, the linear factor in N. And this is for the topological A twist. In topological B twist, something similar happens, but except for the fact that the vacuum module and the non-trivial modules are swapped, and there is some extra signs multiplied to one of the modules. Okay. And for a general R, this is actually true. You can show that for A twisted the half index in the limit s goes to 1, you get m to the z to the r qm1 qmr qkm square plus some q is some r dimensional vector depending on r. Of course, and the K is a matrix K over there that I defined. Okay. And this is, of course, the vacuum character of the M Virasoro M 2,2R 3. Okay, and you can also show that the theory has R. R minus one independent, R independent Wilson loops, and they actually give rise to this theory has exactly R plus one modules, and that Wilson line will correspond to, that's actually just fundamental Wilson loop for each U1 factors that give rise to the character of the modules. And a B twist character is some reordering of the A twist character. This is what we can see. And that theory is constructed sort of in a reverse engineering. It's actually theory constructed in a way that its half index gives rise to the minimum order characters.
What is the organization of characters
I think for the simplest case, we have some explanation. Probably it's better if we actually identify what the algebra for the B twist is. I think we can try to answer that question for the simplest example after the addressing the actual boundary operator algebra. But I think it's actually because of something that comes from the fact that two topological twisted theory is actually very similar. I think it might be the first member of this theory is a self mirror, I think. But I'm not sure about the other things. There are some interesting mirror symmetry structure going on this or story, which we are still trying to understand. So we, from this, we can try to expect that for the A-twisted case, the theory is very likely to be the Virasoro minimum model. And for the B-twist, something else that's closely related to the Virasoro model. So so those are the characters of the rational VOAs. So they enjoy some nice modular properties. Okay. For example, the set of characters, they transform as a vector-valued modular form under SL2Z. And individual characters transform as a modular function under some congruent subgroup called SL2Z. Okay. And there exists a large class of RCFT characters, which can be written in terms of the so-called fermionic sum formula, some generalization of the expression that I wrote over there. So for example, there are known characters of the RCFT, which is actually some, I will just leave it ambiguous, QM1, QMR, the Q to the A M square, or 2 B M plus C. For some R by R matrix A, M is rank R vector, and B is also some rank R vector, C is some rational number. Okay. There are many RCFT characters that can be written in the following form. This is also called, this is something called the fermionic sum representations. There are some interesting generalization of this. And in early 90s, many people actually had tried to answer the following question. For which triple A, B, and C, this function of Q becomes a modular function under some congruent subgroup of SL2Z. Therefore, this becomes a candidate of some rational RCFT. So it's actually closely related to the effort of the classifying all the RCFTs. And part of the classification actually comes from the asking the question for which ABC, this becomes a modular function. Okay. Actually, the answer to this question has been answered to some extent by Don Zagier. For example, for this rank R, 2, 1, 2, 3, it's fully classified. There are a finite number of the triple ABC, and also some infinite family exists. And as you can see from that construction, this expression are all candidates of some half index of abelian transformations matter theories. And you can check that for all those class of examples that Don Zagier found in his paper actually give rise to the interesting class of rank 0, 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theory. Or it can be some just a 3D n equals to 2 theory, which directly flows to the topological theory, some unitary topological theory. But it's either it flows to unitary topological field theory, or it flows to the 3D n equals to 4 rank 0 theory, especially in the case when this is a character of the non-unitary RCFTs. Okay. And those moduli matrices of those theories, the SNT matrices of those theory that permutes those chi can be also constructed from the calculating various partition functions of the 3D topological field theory on cipher spaces, you can try to extract this modular matrix, and you can show that those actually agrees with the one that that are known. Okay. So any questions? So I will try to illustrate how we construct the VOA explicitly for the minimal, the simplest member of those theory, the T minimum theory. So five VOA for T. Is the I will also consider B twist. This is actually the one of the few examples where we can explicitly construct the OPEs of the boundary algebra. For A twist, we expect that it supports the minimal model from that analysis, but we actually couldn't. Show it directly at the level of the algebra. Okay, but for the B twists, we can. So it's an n equals to 2 theory. It's just a U1 gauge theory with one Carter multiplet with a Chan Simons level 3 hop. Okay, so that the matrix K, which is 2, is the effect, can be thought of as an effective Chan Simons level. Okay, you can show that. There exists two gauge invariant quarter BPS monopole operators. V plus is a monopole operator of charge one. There is also the sidebar V minus one. These quarter BPS existence of this quarter BPS monopole operator is important in showing the supersymmetry enhancement. For example, if you act the Q. The n equals to 2 supercharge on that operator, it actually this becomes the supercurrent in an extended algebra. And also you Q to the, this is G. Okay. So this is the existence of those operators are the strong signal for the n equals to 4 enhancement. Okay. And also, it's general. In general, we need to perform the topological twist of those theory. But for those theories that doesn't have a manifest n equals to 4 supersymmetry, it's in general difficult to understand the topologically twisted theory. So idea, it's mainly the idea of my collaborator Nick, was to understand the deformation of the supercharge from deformation of the supercharge as deformation of the action by some superpotential. So you start from the HT twisted theory, and you deform it to the B twisted supercharge, and this is by adding some supercharge QB. For example, this is in terms of 3D n equals to 4, and this is something like Q plus Q minus this.
So what is HT?
It's a supercharge of the holomorphic topological. Yeah, this is actually this particular supercharge in n equals to 4. And you understand this deformation of delta by modification of the theory by adding some superpotential. So adding the superpotential to the action. It changes the differential, and you can actually, the idea was to, roughly speaking, the idea was to find delta V so that, to find the superpotential deformation so that it realizes this particular delta V. Okay. So you can actually do it in a very systematic way. First of all, you need to change it, all this twisting homomorphism by just working with the twisted spin with respect to this supercharge J, twisted spin JB, which is essentially the spin J minus the RC over 2. Well, this is the Cartan of the SU2 to C algebra. And you can try to deform the theory SP by SHT twisted theory. Plus some super potential deformation so that this SB is invariant under QB when this is invariant under the QHT, and you find what you ask for, what delta of B is. Okay, so this can be understood via this notion of the secondary product. So if there is two Q-closed operators, say O1 and O2, the local Q-closed, QHT closed operators, then you can construct another the local operator by taking the secondary product. This is defined as doing something like this, the O to the 1 of Z, O1 to Z. This is the it's called the topological descent in the HT twist theory of the operator 1. So for example, the holomorphic derivative of certain operator can be understood as the taking the secondary product with the supercurrent. Okay? And in the same way, we can ask for which operator beta does this realize this deformation of the supercharge by adding this delta of B. Okay? And these are actually there exists certain operator theta, and this is precisely, if you compare the quantum numbers, these are precisely the operator that I mentioned here. Those quarter BPS monopole operator that was necessary to show the supersymmetry enhancements to 3D n equals 2 to 4 series. And on the other hand, the deforming the theory by the superpotential O, in the theory, it actually amounts to add this particular term in the action, and this actually has an effect of deforming the differential Q by QHT plus O acting on some field. So if you try to compare these two, what plays a role of the superpotential deformation that realizes deformation of the supercharge is precisely this operator O that was needed to show the supersymmetry energy. So we need, in order to pass to the topologically twisted theory, we first need to change the twisting homomorphism, and we need to add the superpotential term, which is given by this Kyler superfield I-square V. Okay. So that was the basic idea. So we can actually work at the level of the HT twisted theory with some superpotential deformation to work with the fully topologically twisted 3D n equals to 4 theory. Okay. So now we can try to see what the boundary algebra is. So we consider the Dirichlet boundary conditions to the vector multiplet and also one Kyler multiplet. So it sets a mu, the connection of the boundary 0 by boundary is equal to 0. Okay, and the surviving field at the boundary after imposing those boundary conditions are, first of all, there is the current field that we call B, which has a conformal dimension 1. This is essentially this component in terms of the physical fields, lambda z octet, which is essentially the psi minus, which was the partner of pi in the Orionov flat space. Okay, so these two are the surviving fields, and the perturbative algebras of those two has been actually something that we can extract from this paper by Kevin Tudor and Vire. It's straightforward to write down the algebra, the first of all, the BB give rise to this, well, this factor of two is from the fact that the effective the level is two, and then B lambda is z minus U over lambda z. This just comes from the fact that lambda has charge one, and you also have lambda. This is a perturbative algebra, and important non-perturbative effect comes from those boundary monopoles that I mentioned earlier. Okay, so if you try to take into account the effect of boundary monopoles, so what happens is that the current algebra of the B is nothing at this point, it's just the U1 current algebra at level 2. This becomes the SU2 level 1 algebra after you take into account the boundary monopoles. You had the B there, and here you have a BZ together with the V plus, V minus. They actually become the generator H, E, F of the SU2 algebra. And can show that it actually satisfies the usual, the SU2 level 1 algebra. And there was a fermion lambda, which was charge 1 under this U1. It has to become some doublet under this SU2. So let's say the theta plus is this fermion lambda, then there must be some theta minus so that it forms a doublet under the SU2. So you can write down the algebras between the F, say, Z, theta plus becomes theta minus, and E acting on theta minus becomes theta plus, Z minus W, and H theta plus minus becomes theta plus minus Z minus W, so that these form a fundamental under this SU2. Okay. And an important last ingredient comes from the existence of the superpotential deformation that we needed to pass to the full topological theory, which was essentially the superpotential with this chiral superfield, the phi square. Okay. So when we add the superpotential W proportional to the phi square V plus, the effect of adding such a superpotential deformation is also well known in that work. It's essentially the fermion derivative psi OPE gets modified by the second derivative of W Z square W. So this actually implies in our case that there exists a non-trivial the OPE. Okay, and on all the remaining OPEs are actually determined by the associativity of the algebra. And you can, if you write down all the
mean to the plus
to the plus. Yes, yes. Then together with those theta plus, theta minus, and these five generators form the algebra, which is called the affine OSP 1/2 by one. Okay. So those OSP affine algebra is of course not a minimum Virasoro minimum model, but it's actually closely related to the Virasoro minimum model in at least two different ways.
Can I ask you, so you said theta minus must be there because they have to form.
Mm-hmm.
So, but theta minus is not built from your local fields.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
So for example,
so it,
I always think of B plus and B minus as some exponential of B.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you can think of theta minus as something that is obtained by the acting the F, the raising operator too. To the lowering operator to theta plus. That's not just a simple local field in the theory. Yeah. So the first connection to the minimum model connection between the OSP 1/2 and the minimum model. Is the following. So you see that there is SL2 level 1 is contained in this. So if you take the coset, this SL2 level K level 1, and this is actually known to be the Virasoro minimum model M 3.5.
Three.
Yeah, so OSP 1/2 k equals 1 actually can be thought of as an M 3.5 times SL2 level k equals 1 divided by Z2. The Z2 can be thought of as decaying the one-form symmetries in a point of view of the Burke theory. This theory has Z2 one-form symmetry, which is anomalous. This is also has a Z2 one-form symmetry. In the point of view of a Burke, it's an anomalous. When you take a product, you can actually quotient the theory. This is actually a very reminiscent of some of the duality that was mentioned in one of David's paper. So there is some duality, interesting duality in paper by Davide and Komargoski and Wu. That there is something like U12 divided by Z2. It's actually the Tiemann theory is actually the one that appears in that paper. It's actually very looks similar. The character of this, the half index of this with DD boundary condition is character of this. So it seems something similar is going on. Yes. And the consequence of this fact is the vacuum character of the OSP 1/2 or the half index of our team in theory is DD boundary condition factorizes. So you can actually show explicitly that our half index the factorizes that chi of L1. L1 is a vacuum module for this guy times chi V1, 3.5, log Q. This is a vacuum module for this guy, minus chi of L2, Q, S, chi V, 3.5, Q. you can show explicitly that this identity holds.
Minus is confusing, right?
Yes, there are some parity action, set to action in the theory. So actually, parity shifted module comes. So for example, if you try to calculate the half index, you have to actually multiply the overall minus sign to the excited module to have a nice modular property. So it has to be there. So that was a connection to the minimum of the M3,5. And also, there is also some interesting relation to M2,5 as I advertised. So that actually comes from the considering the left boundary conditions to all of this. So far, what we have been discussing is the right boundary conditions. So the boundary condition, for example, on E times R. So for the left boundary condition, there is also very nice boundary condition, which is given by taking the Neumann boundary condition to everything. This is, of course, anomalous. The theory has a gauge anomaly. So in order to cancel the gauge anomaly, you need to add a 4 Cayley Fermi multiplet. So that's 2 complex Fermi multiplets to cancel those theory. So if you add those 2 copies of Fermi and calculate the half index, it actually, you see that this becomes, just give rise to vacuum character of M2,5. Okay. And this precise relation between the OSB1/2 at level 1 and M2,5 is something that we learned from Thomas Krutzig. So those 2 copies of complex fermion actually give rise to the 2 copies of BC ghost. And what's interesting is that these 2 copies of BC ghost system contains both OSB1/2 at level 1 and M2,5. These 2 are mutual coset inside the 2 copies of the BC ghost system. So if you take a coset of this and M2,5, this is precisely OSB1/2, level 1, and this is M2,5. And this relation is very similar. It's actually the same relation as the usual level length condition that we can learn from the Chern-Simon theory. So for example, if you have a Burke Chern-Simon theory with SU n level k, if we impose the DD boundary condition on D boundary condition on a right boundary, then this is the S L and the K algebra. And in the left boundary condition, we can impose the Neumann boundary condition, but we also need to cancel it by adding, say, K fundamental Fermi multiplets. And this algebra here is something like 3 the Fermis, and you take a coset by the SLNK, and the result is the GLK. And so this is how the usual level length, the duality between these 2 algebras are realized in the physical setup, and exactly the same thing happens here too. And we are trying to study some generalization of this to the other theories. So just to make a comment, for the TR theory, we expect that the corresponding algebra at the boundary is the OSB1/2 at level R in this case. Yeah, probably I will just stop here, take questions.
Any questions?
So I just kind of look at this HT twist theory. I can try to ask what's the category line operators, and like if there's a description, some higher category of maybe shifts over some space.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
you mean just for HT twist?
HT
twist. Yeah.
That description, you know, understand how to perform that twist.
I mean, at the level of the algebra, I think it's actually a difficult question how you go from the full HT twist theory to from the HT twist theory to the full topological twist. I think this we sort of circumvented that difficult questions by the realizing that deformation by at the level of the action by adding the superpotential. So in general, this is, I think, difficult questions.
So other generalizations that come from this fermionic formula besides the arc?
Yeah, there are many generalizations. Yeah, there are some generalizations that seems to give rise to the algebra of OSP1/2n, some arbitrary level. Okay, so those the fermionic sum formula is known for large class of matrix A, R by R matrix A. So it's known that this classification is closely related to this A, something like C of A, C, B, tensor product with C, B, C, D. B times, say C inverse, where B and C are one of the Cartan matrices of AR, or C of think ABR, and also CR, and C of CR. Yeah. So there are some interesting class of.
Yes, for each of these, you can do an abelian Chasseman sphere.
These are all abelian Chasseman sphere.
You expect an equal four enhancement.
Yes.
Any questions?